is to designate this time from 11 to 11 p.m.
to 8:30 actually is the forbidden time, right, to sleep. So it's actually considerably, and if you're on the university, it's from dusk to dawn. So it's can't sleep in the vehicle any time during that period of time. If
your pusher is back from LA
and the university if you're outside.
What, August 20th, 2000?
11,
we got interviews, we got this and that, we got a live interview coming up from down south, guy calling from Carmel, California, who was beaten in the LA riots, right next to my co-producer Becky Johnson. Get to hear them side by side showing off their bruises. Stay with us.
It seems like a rather obvious question, which, you know, I would have said that the voters, if they looked at this law, and I suggested to the city council, they put it on the ballot for November just as it is. Just put the current law on the ballot and point to the fact it's impossible for people. It's clearly discriminatory, first of all, to arrest people for sleeping or outside and having a place to go, but just look at the rationality of it. How are people expected to come to get jobs and do this sort of thing? It's simply a, you know, poor people to be gone. The city council, with the exception of Michael Rodkin and Michael Fernandez, who are generally bad on almost every issue, including this one, and have political motivation for wanting to support it, wouldn't even consider putting it on the ballot because the progressives have been running like little rabbits for this issue for years. Still haven't stopped.
May I share a bit of my own experience with you?
Go ahead.
Okay, I was once homeless. Well, actually, twice. And I'm not really proud of it at all. But I am willing to tell you what I get during those times. I did not get naturally job that can be had. No one would do it. Amen. Like, you only say I'm staying awake. I'm not going to do that. Okay, hey, dude, I'm homeless. I will do that. I will do that with a positive attitude. I will give you what you want. I will make the back of the grocery store smell good. I'll get in that dumpster. I'll hose that thing out. I'll scrub that thing down. I'll get rid of all that garbage, and the smell will disappear. Who will do that? A desperate homeless person would. And he would come home with two, not one, but two armloads of groceries. Now, they could be close to expiration date, but hey, 6 months we have, we could be very okay,
right?
You wouldn't pay for this, it's too close to expiration date, especially after tomorrow. But a homeless person who is afraid to work, is afraid to go ahead and humble down, and do it, this is a bargain to be had. You wouldn't believe how many times I've done something like this. When I was homeless, I had no hope of any kind of a future at all, and yet I came away dirty, tired, sweaty, hot, but with two armloads of groceries.
And had you been in Santa Cruz,
we're firing at you today.
Outside,
thank you for tuning in to Bathroom Spears Broadsides here on Free Radio Santa Cruz,
96.3 FM. Because when I have nothing to pay,
Sunday
you have nothing
morning,
to
August
pay.
Except, of course, your liberty in your backpack, which may get lost.
I got back yesterday from just outside the Democratic Party's coronation of Gornis again, Gore.
Caller, my problem again is I'm up against the hour. I got 9 minutes, and Uncle Dennis is an unforgiving talk show host. He will zip me out of the studio before we can say Jack Robinson. So let me ask you to sum up.
Barbara coming back talking to some homeless activists there. So got lots of information, more than my share for this show.
Thank you for calling, and please call in again. Our show airs again on Sunday from 11 to 1:30.
In case you want to join the discussion, in case you have local stuff you want to bring up, because that really is what the show is all about, give a call in, 427-3772.
And for those who can't catch us on air, we have an off-air number, 423-HUFF, 423-4833.
We will be interviewing Ryan,
for want of a better word, that's not quite what
Ryan,
we're called. I don't think
his last name escapes me at the moment,
it's
but
Michael
I will
Schmitz,
hopefully
working
pick it up from my producer.
Meets tomorrow on Friday
at 11:30. As I mentioned earlier, Ryan was hit by police on Monday night
in
a police riot right outside the so-called protest pit.
If you're interested in the local Santa Cruz direct action group,
police fired indiscriminately into the crowd, rubber bullets that are very painful. I've seen the bloody bruises these things produce.
Within the hour, I should be able to have a number for you.
Inch in diameter, these thick wedges of hard rubber.
Scan met recently.
And they also
were hitting
people with batons. producer Becky Johnson was hit
7 minutes, so I'm going to kind of have to put this
several women with her were also
Sunday,
hit.
If we're
we
still
didn't know
in
the names of those
Sunday,
women until this morning
possibly
when we happened to go on
Sunday,
the internet.
If I take off for L.A., I probably won't be back until next Sunday, and I may be arrested down there because police are engaging in bizarre behavior, which violates the First Amendment in many cases, and in some cases one has to take direct action, which
beat them up or
police
trying
seem
to get away.
Is a basis for putting people in jail.
It's convenient
actually,
for them, isn't
I think
it?
They should be joining us in direct
for those of us in Santa Cruz
challenge
who
failed
are wary
national,
of
state, and local policies
and
towards homeless people, towards
the LA
community control of police. And LA is a horrible example of police department.
Sanctioned,
I hate to think
authorized,
of me dealing with the LA
funded
police, I'll tell you.
Terrorism
makes
in
me
action.
Cringe,
kind of
but
consistent,
you gotta do
visual,
you gotta do.
Visually present.
What else we got,
Dawn? It was. The terrorism didn't just happen.
I'll talk
when
a little bit about the
beaten.
SCAN meeting since
the
there's not a lot
of
time.
Beaten.
SCAN is a group which was appealed to by Residentes Unidos, the Dolphin and League tenants who've been fighting the city's attempt to dump them out, bulldoze their apartments,
who,
and then let a certain number of them back into a finished Mercy Charities housing loan project.
Were simply concerned
on
with
July 25th, City Council voted to dump the Lee tenants, activist Residentes Unidos members, and instead to force
the
Dolphin tenants into a Mercy Charities housing project.
The
matter is still, of course, a matter of some contention for a lot of us. Resident Unidos supposedly has a meeting tomorrow at 6 o'clock. If anyone's interested, that is what the word is, though they have not had their most recent few meetings. And I can't guarantee this meeting is going to happen. For more information, you can give a call to
471-9099.
I've not been able to get much information out
of
that number, but I'm hoping that possibly other people can, and possibly it's a matter
of power where the
local problems with the number. It's sort of a number that's being used while the Resident Unidos phone supposedly is being put in again, though it's a week late, I got to say,
and
being put in again. Resident Unidos.
National and international.
One of our chief representatives, Nena Ruiz, received a $500 grant.
I talk a lot on
the
show
the
about
Center,
local
the
homeless people.
Doug Rand
and
Action
their
Fund,
and
the properly so. Nena's done a lot of good work around
local
the issue of
in Santa Cruz,
organizing tenants, bringing them to city council to say, don't destroy our housing unless we can guarantee we can get back into something. And they still need to do that. All of you out there need to call city council to tell city council at their hotline, 420-5017. Again, I repeat, call city council, get your pencils ready. 420-5017.
420-5017.
Tell them
don't
acquire any property. Make any change in the management of the current Dolphin property until after the elections. Let the new council make that choice. A lame duck council where four seats are going
to
be changed has no business kicking out a bunch of tenants with the Mercy Charities housing management in a sole source deal. Mercy Charities is not getting competitive bidding. It is not being considered with other people being considered also for low-income housing providers. This
is
a backdoor deal that Catherine Byers, in collusion with Keith Sugar, engineered on July 25th at the council meeting. So call 420-5017 and tell city council, hold up on this deal until after
the
election. You don't have any business evicting dozens of families because Mercy Charities Housing wants to establish a nice name for itself in Santa Cruz and somehow has been given the power by Cecil Cirillo's redevelopment agency. And the gutless response of Mayor Keith Sugar, who promised the tenants a month and a half ago, I was in the room when he promised them that he would be pushing for the guarantees and he would never, never vote for anything that did not have guarantees. Repeatedly made this promise as far back as February in a debate I played on Free Radio Santa Cruz. The mayor is a liar.
Homeless Dome
That's
Village.
The sad
only
truth.
About six
he didn't vote for the guarantees. Instead, he voted to second the nomination, I should say a resolution, by shadow mayor, powerful council member, swing vote Catherine Byers, that in essence
only after
hands
court
over
order,
the
I
fate
there was a lot
of hundreds of people in the Dolphin
LA
complex.
City council and the police.
To Elizabeth Vogel and Mercy Charities Housing.
Completely from,
I'm afraid that is not good enough. Call 420-5017. And
this
tell
them access
the city
to
council
delegates to some
hotline.
Extent, although none
tell
of us
the council
the
generally,
that I'm aware
you
of.
Find this
I would have liked
not
to see
acceptable.
Some inside the convention.
Their business
maybe there
is
were
to let the next city council make these
anyway,
decisions,
let's hear from
not to
Marcella,
ram them down the throats of the public,
marched and
not
got,
to ram them down the
hit
throats of the community.
With Ted Hayes, who was himself shot directly, who's leading this march, completely peaceful. The police decided to charge everybody.
In here,
so they
covering up
them
all my tapes.
Without a warning, without any kind of clear the area.
I have to leave you
and
shortly. Got about 3 minutes
and
left in the show. But again, I remind
Ryan
you, 423-HUFF is the number to call.
Minutes.
If you would
were
like to contact
probably a block or
Homeless
two
United
away
for
from
Friendship
where this
and
happened,
off-air.
We were actually closer in the thick of it because
off
we were
air
right outside the
I'm
protest
I'm working tomorrow to get a Brown Act complaint
firing,
in to the city clerk's
firing
office.
Tear gas
that's
bullets,
a complaint that public process is not being appropriately followed by city council. And that's one of the things I'll be working on. There's also
we're talking
to American Rights, which is a campus organization.
Michelle, you're with the.
I don't.
I'm with
think
Prayers
there's
for
going to be
Peace,
regular meetings
and I used
in the
to
near
work
future.
With
but
Hayes
for anyone interested,
ago,
we
right
can arrange meetings if folks want to meet. And
Bill,
give a call to 423.
Yeah, 9192.
NHP Press, whatever. That's the National Homeless Plan. I see.
Where was that?
And last night you were at the
I got another minute and a half.
Well,
this big thug thinks because he's the New York First Union, actually the man does a lot of good work,
and
gets a number of kickbacks. I notice he's getting checks from Keith Sugar. For heaven's sake,
the candlelight vigil. It's a peace vigil.
Didn't get a check from Keith Sugar.
How many people were involved?
With us?
I see.
Maybe close to 100.
It looked like Sugar was running
and
the ceremony there with a little hat on backwards.
The street saw that it was for the homeless and came and joined us. Many
Doug Rand's
did.
Wife, Matilda Rand. That's the woman
did.
Who hasn't talked to me in 2 years
happened?
For some reason.
Give me a blow by blow.
I can only tell you from my perspective, but what I saw was that we were doing a peaceful
march. Right, there were four organizations, including Residents of Unidos, that received money.
And
I like to point out, here's a brief statement after Bruce Bratton, or Bratty Bruce, as I sometimes call him, who generally, his columns are full of wind and nonsense in many respects, but he's recently been pushing and supporting direct action on behalf of
none of them said, turn around and go back. None of them. Nobody said it's dangerous up
there. I commend Bruce for doing
that.
Now, if he'd only actually start treating the local human rights issues with the same passion, we'd all be saying right on instead of pushing the political fortunes of a few select scamsters that seem to be what
we're doing
at the moment.
We were there legally.
Bruce, get it straight. Good work on the Earth Force stuff. Now move into the home stretch with other civil rights issues locally. Mostly the homeless issue because there are people who deny civil rights and, of course, those who get hassled by
the
police.
Besides
the
Democratic National Convention going on in the city.
Time is beginning
so
here. I've turned it over to Uncle Dennis with a certain trepidation, but nonetheless, that's my responsibility. Thank you for being with me here on Free Radio Santa Cruz for the last hour and 45 minutes.
A registered
on Sunday 11,
we are
another
a registered
edition
convention,
of
absolutely.
I think
they
thought you were registered felons instead. They decided to, we say, investigate you, introduce you to their
That's it, Robert? You just walk away from the microphone?
I'm from Georgia. I came in to help out, that's all, because I believe in what Ted's doing.
Anyway,
I was working with him
wiggle the microphone
the
here.
Which ever came to be. It was still his dream.
Play with all
I've
the
got
knobs
pictures.
And bells
I brought
and whistles.
Archives with me.
Let's see, are you still
to
recording
be here. The Dome Village is behind you there.
Oh,
this is 7 years old, and it's been doing wonderfully. I wanted to spend some time.
We had a great time walking in the woods
I'd
this
like
weekend.
To see how this works. And he asked me to stay and be in the convention and help, and I said I would do that rather than go back to Georgia and resume my life. I stayed here to help out. I believe in what he's doing. The homeless.
Hope our listeners don't mind a little.
What we do to the least of ours.
Turn the headsets up a little bit.
You know, everybody's religion talks about that. And so, and even if you, even an atheist has to care about their fellow man, just because that's their fellow man.
And their fellow woman as well.
Fellow person, certainly. So it's just, you know, it's just a question of having compassion and caring for those who need it.
People in Georgia and the hassles around the Olympic Games and all that stuff.
Oh, no, I wasn't living in Georgia at that time. I've lived all over the world, and I've seen the sick, dying, and homeless, and worked with them in a country called Sri Lanka. And I was in D.C. for a while. I was here. I did some work with transitioning homeless in Tucson, Arizona. You know, so I I have just a little bit to do with the homeless in Georgia at this point in time, but I'm really more focused on prayers for peace for the leaders of our nation, our countries. I think that we're
I think if our leaders get together
and start visualizing and talking about peace, they'd find
actions that we just said the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag, which said with liberty and justice for all. But when someone comes into your home, the nearest, slightest complaint, it can be an ex-boyfriend who's mad at you, it can be anybody, and someone can come to your door with a sheriff and pull out all your foster children. I've been speaking in the context of foster families as I've been an advocate for them for a year, but can pull your biological children out, foster children, without the required warrant and without a petition from the court, then we're in serious trouble. Just by virtue of taking a child out of their home, you've created a special needs child. Sometimes for the rest of their life, you can't just go, well, it's only for 5 days, we made a big mistake, we gave the kids back, it'll work out. It doesn't work that way. And when I had come to you on the 1st of August, that previous Friday, five children had been pulled out of their home, kicking and screaming by sheriffs and social workers, because a foster mom had been accused of beating a child that she had there in daycare, leaving bruises. When the smoke cleared and all that was said and all was said and done, not the police looked at the child that took the report, CPS didn't look at the child in question.
I had to keep moving, so I
the kid had two calf scratches on her foot, like calf scratches on her foot. There were no bruises on the child. Now, CPS can apologize till they're purple, but one of the children that was taken was an adopted child who needs special needs, and the foster mother still hasn't recovered. I'm here because I really believe that this kind of treatment has got to stop. And if you were going to compare CPS to a dog, I would compare it to a rabid dog at this point. I also want to say that I did adopt a dog from a rescue agency, and they took 2 months to integrate the dog into my home. When the children that I subsequently adopted, they were dropped off at my house after a six-hour car ride. This is your new mom. That was it. People treat dogs better than they treat children in this county. So I'm here. I told you I'm going to come once in a while. I want to keep your consciousness clear about this. I have documented stories. I hope that you're listening because it's so serious. I won a case for someone 4 years ago.
The
evidence was actually
that
documentation was trumped up. This is the
where we were,
nor nearby where we were. We were also attacked.
Good morning. Carolyn Garrett. Liberty and justice for all.
Well, they were hitting any and everybody at that point in time.
Yesterday, sounded a traffic alert. I think it should also be titled Health Alert.
I don't know
Reed, Highway 136, Big Basin Highway to Highway 35, Skyland Boulevard, Moving Lane closures, both directions, possible delays, 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Wednesday for spray operation. This is Caltrans, their number is 423-0396. It would likely be unnecessary for us to be here today again had you requested that it be the city of Santa Cruz recently that Caltrans pesticide applications within the county. Four counties in Northern California, District 1, have stopped such pesticide applications and use other non-toxic methods of vegetation management. It's all described in this booklet. Use common sense. Do the same. I'm Marilyn Garrett, and giving constructive notice on this 22nd day of August 2000 to the County Board of Supervisors and to Caltrans that if you permit Caltrans to spray pesticides, you may do harm to workers, people passing by, drivers, residents, land, waterways, toxic runoff to streams, watershed, People breathing spray chemicals and pesticide drift
I haven't
is
been
local,
doing the
inevitable, and unpredictable.
Wildlife,
aquatic species, amphibians, as iron and glyphosate,
here's a lady who can tell you a lot more
on
Santa's Roundup. And the two most popular roadside killers were recently discovered to be among the likely culprits in the destruction of frog populations, beneficial insects, trees, perhaps the dying live oaks, and plants, as glyphosate has been found to inhibit growth of mycorrhizal fungi, which is a protector of root systems. Birds, fetuses, as a nanogram, a millionth of a gram of a dioxin, which is a contaminant of some herbicide. On day 15, the gestation sets the entire hormonal system askew for life, etc. And you may take on more expense than the original problem of the alternative method of being solved. We again request that you follow Caltrans District 1 model of safety. It is profoundly disturbing that the nonchalant have chosen a poisonous, dangerous policy, and that you have disregarded 1,000 people who have signed petitions you possess calling for elimination of pesticides by Caltrans. Your responsibility is to protect public and environmental health, not the chemical corporations' wealth, which you are doing when you buy their toxic products. Request a halt to tomorrow's scheduled spraying, this is the last sentence, and all Caltrans pesticide applications in Oliver, not Monsanto's county. This amounts to chemical warfare. It must stop. Caltrans number 423-0396. Thank you.
Wish to impose on the city, apparently they imposed on you and other people. You were not feeling able
good
to
morning,
walk
supervisors. My name is Michael Schmidt.
No,
I'm the Chief Executive Officer for the Santa Cruz Area Chamber of Commerce. Yesterday, we were fortunate to receive the homeless needs assessment and census information 2000, which was sponsored by the United Way and other organizations. In March of this year, the Santa Cruz Area Chamber of Commerce presented a proposal to the Santa Cruz City Council regarding safe and legal places to sleep. At that time, we were under the impression that we might have an opportunity to secure the armory. We also felt that maybe the employee parking lot here at the county building might be an appropriate site. What I'm asking today is, I know that Supervisor Warmout, under her leadership, developed a coalition called All Kids by Two, because we really sensed the need. I'm involved with that group now, and I applaud her for her leadership in that area. To address immunization issues in our community.
Like there, just like they do here.
Now we have another call to arms that the mayor gave out yesterday, and I'd ask our supervisor, Artie Warmout, to take the same type of leadership on this issue. Homelessness, as we now know, is a local issue. It's not a national issue for us, not even a statewide issue. Over 2/3 of the people here that are homeless are from Santa Cruz, have lived here for 10 years or longer. We know that housing costs are a contributing factor, wages are a contributing factor. Factor. Training is a contributing factor, and adequate support services are a contributing factor. And we can always say there's something we need to do. Well, we'd like to recommend that we look at the Emmeline Center as an interim site for the vehemently housed. It seems to be away from neighborhoods and away from businesses. It seems to be one of the litmus tests to try to do anything for homelessness in this community. It would encourage the we can to take a look at that, to coordinate with the other four cities in the county to address this issue on a county-wide and city-wide basis. Of course, I'm here and we're going to work with any group to try to address at least this important issue. We felt that the chamber in our data analysis that the people who are living in vehicles are mostly working poor families, they have children, and are the most vulnerable, and also the most to transition back into the mainstream. We can find a safe and legal place for these folks to sleep, and I think we're in much better shape. I appreciate your time.
There's quite a bit of space there.
Like 40 or any people?
No, no, no. I don't think there's that many. No, I think there's 27 domes, and some of them are for, there's a cyber dome, which is loaded with computers so that the homeless can keep in touch with family, friends, and get them, if they don't know computers, they learn them. It's a way of helping them to rehabilitate, giving them a place to work. There's a kitchen dome. There's a dome for laundry facilities. There's a dome strictly for females for showers and et cetera needs. Then there's
passing reporters are looking for a shower.
Passing reporters looking for a shower are also welcome.
Well, hey.
if that's their
now
need.
Now you're talking my language, woman.
Very good. You're always welcome here. Everyone's welcome here. We feed people. I say we. It's like I'm back. People are fed here on a regular basis every day. A number of homeless just from the area come in off the street. They're given food. They're allowed to take a shower. You know, everyone is treated with respect for their humanity. Every one of us.
I'm a local resident.
I don't care color, creed, religion, anything. We are all a part of the same total being. We're all in this together.
Does this mean I get a hug?
Sure you get a hug. I'm a hugger.
And I can tell you that homelessness does touch on each and every one of us.
One thing I really would like to include in that, though, not only the National Homeless Plan needs to be embraced by the rest of the country and taken into real consideration by both the Democratic Party.
To work on time,
I am
living in a camper
not
center.
Really at liberty to do that. Ted
would
be able to explain
it
far better.
Place.
I don't know what revisions
sleep.
He's made since
not
I was
does.
Involved
and I know
years
what it means
ago.
Not to have
so I don't want
to be a monitor
say
with the
anything and be wrong.
No problem. But
locally, you know, which shelters homeless people at the Armory and Litter,
that he could
and
carry
area churches year-round.
Wonderful.
I can tell you firsthand
the,
that these shelter situations are only suitable to a very few types of people.
Prayers
people who are not
for the leaders of all nations,
not too drunk or high on drugs,
are necessary,
not acting out,
pray,
not a couple who want to sleep together at night,
Joe
not someone who has a job that doesn't allow him to be
Georgia.
Unavailable for work from 3:30 p.m. until 8
prays
a.m.
Every day with a whole large
not someone who has a pet, not someone who has tuberculosis or an infectious disease, not for someone
numbers.
Who has an impaired
well,
immune system,
you.
Not for
thank
young
you.
Girls who are very vulnerable to sexual predators, and not for any unaccompanied minors.
And that was Marcella.
Additionally, most of the folks who are living
Tuesday
in their vehicles are afraid to leave their belongings
this week,
they could be stolen
the 15th,
or their vehicles
at Justice
you
Village,
never see that
or
at the
Justiceville or Dome Village.
The continuum of
Ted
care
Ted
is really
creation,
a patchwork of services
the
for able homeless
help of
people
Marco
Richfield, and very poor.
Oil money.
Together on paper as a tool for
actually,
getting
we never did get to see
that.
The National Homeless Plan.
Most homeless
nobody knew what it said. It was described
dollars,
as a kind of an executive order
or us,
from the
your constituents,
to end homelessness
into believing that
as a sort of a military priority.
Care is either continuous or carry.
Spoke
you criminalize sleep,
the
and there are things I stand very
I never
much
got
with
a hold
Mr. Schmidt, and that
he was always sort of,
you, I think the Emmeline parking lot would, could
around.
Be very useful, but there are
and
many other
many people
ways
engaged
and means,
in any
campground.
National Homeless
there
Convention activity, which would have
happened.
There
could be used
there were also
created.
Several other conventions in town. There was actually a shadow convention, which had lots of
families out there in these streets.
Famous and articulate and intelligent speakers.
It's
trashing
these that
the
I speak
war,
for, not the long-term
Norby
ones
Dahl
that hang out around
Huffington.
The shelter project in Santa Cruz.
Tom Hayden might have made it over there. One of the few delegates to the main convention
families,
actually came out into the streets and denounced the police riot.
I
got quoted by the media.
Really
but as for Ted Hayes and the National Homeless Plan, never
people.
Saw it.
It's time
I saw some a lot of people had signed on to it, including governors and police chiefs, but it seemed to me to be kind of a vague statement. Didn't have a lot of specifics.
Good morning.
And again,
morning,
I was concerned at Hayes' attack on anarchists, quote unquote, particularly since based upon my understanding of the so called provocation that created the Monday night police riot. It involved a couple of people from the Black Bloc, I believe, or so called anarchists climbing a fence and putting up a flag, an anarchist flag, and then giving the finger to the police at the same time that Clinton was singing, "Don't stop, don't stop, think about tomorrow," or that he is. And it was sort of an attempt to do a media contrast at the same time.
Without my knowledge.
And the police began firing on these two guys who were climbing a fence on the protest side of the fence. They didn't get over the fence.
Found out that
I am told by witnesses who were there, who sounded pretty straightforward and trustworthy.
And then I did some investigating on my own.
They were shot multiple times with rubber bullets and tear gas pellets. And
other people over there had their properties down.
I've actually read an internet claim that police
I
struck someone either with a baton or a rubber bullet through the fence even before people started to climb up there.
Now,
the police, in essence, provoked
if our schools only graduated
really a demonstration
of
free speech, waving
right,
a black flag from the top of their fence,
And when you notify people, and only 2% of the
people
know,
the police didn't attempt to enter the area,
find out about it,
and,
I'd say
and get the people to leave the fence. They tried to shoot them down, and they never fell on the other side of the fence where there were hundreds of police masks guarding the convention, guarding delegates from this two people with their black flag. And over the fence came a bunch of plastic bottles, which are the plastic water bottles that were everywhere present during the very
and that way, people would be involved in the process,
LA,
and they wouldn't be government behind closed doors. That's what I'm suggesting.
The summer there, people were properly
that's all I have to say. And I'd like to see something done about it. Because
I understand some rocks were also thrown over the fence. The response, instead of going after the small group of people, and I guess some of the self-selected monitors in the within the protest group,
good morning. I am Becky Johnson.
I didn't see any of this. This is all secondhand reports. Police instead decided to attack thousands of people. First, they declared the entire concert an illegal assembly and gave people 15 minutes.
According to the Sentinel, the homeless are like the rest of us.
Some people estimated it's 20.
She called for a countywide response to homelessness.
Certainly there were thousands.
She condemned homelessness roundly at the unveiling of the United Way study. Yet neither she nor the other bureaucrats assembled had a word wanted to say about repealing or modifying the county's sleeping ban.
Lined up
so I must ask, is this more election eve feel good, fluffed service providers rhetoric? So familiar to those of us who have literally have to turn off our televisions to avoid feeling sick or angry? Are thousands of homeless people in the county supposed to walk about all night like zombies because this board keeps sleeping in vehicles and on public property a criminal offense at night? What other solutions does this board have?
So the police gave people 15
minutes to disperse. You don't have affordable housing. You don't even have affordable campgrounds.
Becky Johnson and I were walking.
Perhaps you suggest trespass on private property or committing robbery to secure the means to rent motel rooms.
At the protest.
What alternatives are you giving people whose sleep you have criminalized? The failure of the national and state policy on homeless issues is well known.
Hey, Ryan, this is Robert Norris speaking.
Bureaucrats
I'm good. You're calling, I guess, from down to Carmel.
To juggle more financial grants
so you made it back
for
in spite
middle
of your
administrators, while the poor
this
continue
is actually
the
first time I've ever talked to you, but I guess you spoke to another victim of last evening who was struck within a few feet of you.
A year ago, Supervisor Wormhout told us she believes in the antiquated and prejudiced magnet theory. That says if you decriminalize sleeping in a vehicle,
you are
the whole
live
world
on the air.
Will move to Santa Cruz
County. I'm sorry, I should have mentioned that originally.
Has Wormhout actually gone back to the library and done her homework by reading the city's task force to examine the camping ordinance report of the winter before last? That report concludes that no magnet effect occurs when you restore civil rights to the homeless.
In San Francisco,
Santa Barbara's Board of Supervisors, I'm told by writer Peter Marin, is on the verge of setting up legal nighttime parking spaces for those
who
live in vehicles. In Santa Barbara, affordable housing is the only affordable housing that's going to happen for poor people in the deck. The next decade
so
will be
south
in a vehicle.
LA and,
Marin also describes a program where county finances the purchase of vehicles through long-term loans for shelter.
Sort of get hospitalized.
Is Santa Cruz any different?
Exactly.
I'm almost finished here. How much longer will this board turn a blind eye to the basic fact that we must sleep at night and that our poor people have no choice whether to do so or not? It is this board that chooses whether to fine them $80 or let them be.
And, I mean, the way it was so peaceful. I mean, everyone, like, Ozzy Motley, where, everyone was dancing and just having a really good time. And freedom. It was great. I mean,
the county study estimates a county homeless population of 8,500. This is probably low considering the Department of Health and Human Services estimate 3,000 to 5,000 back in 1988 when there was a significantly stronger safety net and a lower population. The study's summary suggests, in fact, 6,000 to 10,000.
This was about 8:15, and the permit was supposed to be
United Way study revealed what informed people already know. that most homeless people in the county are our own local people. They're not homeless people by choice. They are not bums.
They being the police.
They are not hippies and deadheads on a pleasure tour. They are people whose homes have been stripped from them by a variety of circumstances, ranging from rent profiteering to economic recession to sheer bad luck.
There are folks who are
work, bring up families, to retain a share.
It doesn't matter.
Discrimination against our own is a form of self-mutilating cruelty. To tear at the most powerless in our own community and criminalize those who seek shelter and sleep is itself a kind of pathology. A political sickness or substitute stereotypes.
Let me interrupt you for a minute.
Surrender
he said arrest, but of course, probably what he meant was
discrimination are the most obvious
shit out of
it.
I didn't see people arrested. In fact, I didn't hear of anyone arrested.
I described 2 weeks ago
there were simply beatings and shootings.
Forces people to hide from the police rather than be
and maybe there were some people arrested I didn't hear about. Because there's certainly
days ago, a homeless man was viciously assaulted at the Loudoun Nelson Center and sent to the hospital. A foreign visitor tried to intervene to help him, but so badly beaten, he needed reconstruction.
And that's a
good thing. It took us years to get statistics from
now, what you're referring to, of course, is the so-called protest pen, which is a fenced-in area about the size, well, almost a city block that was adjacent to, well, in front of the Staples Convention Center, where all the police had massed, and that famous fence where two anarchists or two individuals of the black
Supervisor Wormhout, get for us the data.
The justification
we need to understand
the,
just how vulnerable the homeless are in Santa Cruz
County. Of
or will we hear the sound of doors closing as the winter shelter
night,
advisory committee dispersed last year with nothing done?
I also, I mean, this was,
Butte's
act
to make
one
the
area,
parking
but
lot available.
Essentially a block
will this
away
board
on the main
move
street,
to let the
Figueroa
homeless
and Olympia Boulevards, which is where
if these most basic
would,
measures to criminalize homeless people are not implemented,
like
the right to sleep is not restored to those who have no other options.
But you
then
were
the kind of protest we saw last week in Los Angeles.
This actually was
is what we need here
outside
in
a restaurant.
This board
next
must
to
act open up car parks and campgrounds now, or suffer the fate of the Democratic and Republican Party last week in Los Angeles.
And Chevron, and this actually is the same.
About rhetoric,
people
probably shamelessly sell off the country to the highest bidder, and then send in brutal police to silence the crowd.
Instead of the American flag, it had all the logos of corporations and dollar signs, or
Mark Tracy's deputies, or sensible action from
you may remember that, and that was over the figures of Martin Luther King. These huge pictures of Martin Luther King and Robert Kennedy, that kind of cover one side of a building. That really was where we were, which was outside the entire protest area.
Exactly, right? Outside the area where they had asked us to leave. Before, you know, we had, like, exactly, it was at 8:15. We had permits to be there till 9. We had the constitutional right to be there to, you know, speak our minds or whatever.
I believe in
and they made us
justice. So
and as we were leaving, all of a sudden they come in, they came in on those horses.
It, but I don't see where there's any freedom
before,
justice.
Before I knew anything, you know, I saw the horses, I saw the guys on the horses,
that
and
to sleep out
before I knew anything, they were firing at us.
Where they feel unsafe, where they sleep at
now, where were you standing
like
when you heard the warning to leave?
Tonight,
I was standing
a
little bit.
I had to keep a pocket knife in my hand because I'm unsafe. In case if somebody comes up to me, I have to protect myself. And I always keep my
Figueroa
side
of the
case.
And this was, again, in the protest pit, at least half a block away from the area where you were eventually beaten.
Yes.
Where you were beaten was outside the protest area, on a public street.
On a public street, where we were hiding.
So
I do what I have to do to sell the column or whatever in order to avoid getting hit by rubber bullets.
I remember. I was hiding there with you.
I
didn't know it was you.
There was, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a man who was selling hot dogs who was standing right next to the obelisk.
But see, nobody
who
had nothing
to do with
that kind of
other than the fact that he was selling hot dogs to the protesters. And, you know, I noticed him right off the bat because he was, you know, crouched down behind his little hot dog stand or whatever. And then before I knew it, the cops came and they started beating him.
Good morning.
And he had nothing to do with it. They were beating him, like, hitting him. And then they saw us, my friend Jessica, was kind of standing closest to that end of the obelisk. And they saw us and they started hitting her. They kind of beat her to the ground. Like, they were very vicious with her. She's about probably like 5'1", and can't weigh more than 100 pounds. Like, she, you know,
She was assaulting them with a machete, perhaps.
Out, there has been a gross injustice here in the Board of Supervisors.
Now, how many times did you see police strike?
You know, I don't know. It was
chaos.
It was chaos. Like, I stayed to try and, like, you know, help her out.
Damning evidence against the administration department, the planning department, and members of the board.
How many times did you get hit? How many times did they hit you?
You know, I don't know. I had a backpack on my back. Most of the hits I did have one very large.
This states that Santa Cruz County is implementing this program.
And
I have the local United Nations Association. Local agenda 21 planning guide, and I am cross-referencing international, Canadian, and local.
She had a bunch,
to explain
like,
to the people on the radio and as many groups as possible,
you know, like,
that this will implement draconian fascist laws on private property. And every activity that we, the people, do, we're coming into a fast totalitarian state. And I only speak from facts and only from government documents.
Now, you weren't the only one, Scott, behind the obelisk. Did you see other people getting hit, or what else was there?
I didn't, actually.
Demonstrating that Measure C, that you will now re-adopt, come in. I'm sure you probably will not get into the vote of the voters in Santa Cruz County. But we are going to publicly put this information up. And you must study this packet that I'm giving to you. Measure C is Agenda 21, which was signed in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil, in 1992. By President Bush.
This was the woman who was terrified, right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Right. She was. I thought she was actually a local person because she seemed to be a person of color, and I was. She was afraid to move at all, and I kind of kept saying, "Take my hand, take my hand." And this cops were standing there with their batons upraised. For some reason, they weren't hitting me. I don't know why. Probably because I took my "fuck the police" button off a moment before.
Yeah.
A prudent move. And we got her out of there, and then of course. They went after my co-producer, Becky, who was just on the ground. You probably didn't see that because you were probably gone. How did you exit? How did you leave? Did you go along Figueroa or Olympic?
We went up Figueroa.
We couldn't get out of there because we were actually behind the police line again, so we had to wait till a police officer directed a hotel to us, and the hotel threw us out because they didn't want protesters in the hotel. And then we took refuge in a restaurant, where a bunch of reporters were hiding, the same restaurant which is directly outside where you. Jessica and I guess Becky were all hit right on the corner there.
So,
what did you do then? Did you?
There were people created a line about two feet from the edge of the wall of the building.
And I've been in contact with some individuals in town that were at the community level, consulting level, and I just wanted to direct you.
I remember them shouting, "Move, move, move!" Like that.
Exactly. And then, but as they were doing that, we at this point, I was cowering, it was almost like they were taunting me, they would pretend like they were going to hit me, and then they wouldn't, and then one of them would hit me. So they created this little gauntlet. Scott Behrens is co-founder of Farm Without Harm. Ran up the street, and we were both, we caught up with our friends, Jessica and I were both in tears, scared, angry, everything. Christine Nagel is a private landscaper, and I've also been in contact with two agencies that are very interested in receiving a bit of the contract.
We actually bought two hot dogs from him about a minute before this happened, because I think at that point he was the only hot dog vendor on the corner. The next day or 2 days later there were like four or five vendors, but that night, as I remember, there was only one. Now, it has to be said that Becky and I did walk back. We had heard word that the police had given a dispersal order from the protest area. But we didn't go into the protest area. We, and I guess you as well, by the time this began to happen, were on a public street. And there had been no dispersal order on the public street. And this is something that the LA Times and all the mainstream media that I read completely ignored, although it was asserted again and again by, for example, the next day at the press conference, James Lafferty of the National Lawyers Guild and Carol Sobel of the American Civil Liberties Union held a press conference which the people who were beaten showed off their bruises. Reporters, by the way, five reporters were from the Bay Area alone, I was told by a video journalist who interviewed me before I left, a Channel 5 video journalist woman, that five had been, had been beaten just from that particular part of the media alone. So at this press conference the next day, where James Lafferty announced a lawsuit, he pointed out that the police gave no warning whatsoever to the people congregated in the street. And I would say that the effect of shooting rubber bullets and charging the horses and batons created this kind of frenzied panic. I remember when the crowd started to move. People were being trampled, literally. I mean, I didn't know of anybody who actually later was actually trampled, but that seemed to be an imminent danger. And so we all started, some of us started shouting, "Don't run, don't run." But the police, apparently from what you're saying, were attempting to, through their use of this really pretty blatant terror is the word of, I think, what they were trying to instill, was creating a situation where people were more likely to get hurt. And it had nothing to do with any kind of, realistic crowd control or even a plan for evacuation. It was an attempt in a kind of a broader ideological way to terrify not only everyone there, but everyone watching. You do what I say when I snap my fingers or you will get beaten. Now, if not now, then later on when there's no justification for it and you think you're safe. That seemed to be the message to me.
And the sad thing was that, I don't know if you were there,
but
the following day, but like the next day, there wasn't nearly
the
biggest turnout.
11 million people, or including 5 million slots, 3 million polls, 500,000. At hands of anti-Catholic. You are concising, man. Please don't. Stachic. What do you want? I'm speaking. You're interrupting my time, and why? You're trying to miscue me? Please don't. Oh, my time is up. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Well, they successfully engaged in a well-funded conspiracy to abrogate the Constitution. Through simply, again, the simple use of terror.
Aquifer. And I can give you some facts as I have found them in my research.
The next series of protests when they happened, which
first of all,
inevitably,
as I say, 79% of the water taken from the Burisma is by state chartered water suppliers.
Ratifying candidates.
It is a fact that private wells each only take 1.4 acre-feet a year as opposed to 343.6 acre-feet taken by the so-called water district alone. But furthermore, the so-called water district pumping practices are much more invasive than the private wells, being deep wells with a great impact on the aquifer. Leading to possible saltwater intrusion, etc. So essentially, I ask why these draconian measures are being taken.
Or I guess you can do a Japanese protest.
As far as metering and regulating private wells.
Well.
As I say, 79% of the water is being taken by these state-chartered water agencies. I don't see any kind of action taken against them.
Protesters snaking around, tactics, and so forth.
What do you really all I have to say?
Are you from going to protest? Are you going to avoid the next?
Except perhaps
no, not at all. The thing was right after
water's a finite resource. It is my understanding that the state of California owns the water in the state. I have a question for the board. Is this ordinance being enacted under the provisions of AB 3030 of the state? The law, the ordinance which was passed, I believe, in the early 80s, allowing local agencies to set up these water management agencies. Is this, in fact, the provision by which the county is establishing jurisdiction over our water?
Get knowledge out, to tell people, for one thing, I want as many people to know what happened, down in Los Angeles as I can, know that,
thank you.
I was beaten, friends of mine were beaten, people that weren't even involved with the protests, you know? And it's like, this definitely makes me want to go to more protests.
I don't know the answer to that question. Like, as the county administrative officer has stated that this ordinance is still being worked out. I certainly hope not, but I would say that it really makes no difference from my point of view. Because, you see, new wells, the people that put in new wells have the same constitutional rights.
We're talking to Ryan White, calling from Big Sur, California, who was hit on August 14th.
My name is Rosemarie McNair. I live in the SoCal
police
area,
essentially took a pretext of a couple of people on a fence.
I do hear a lot from private property owners in this regard about this particular
plastic
ordinance.
Water bottles,
the concerns that we have,
the
way the ordinance is presently written, is that it would deal with installation of new wells after July 1, 2000.
To attack thousands
and that's
of
the way it's drafted, so I don't know whether it would end up being retroactive because it's already August now or what the case may be. The ordinance also states, however, that
I also remember from the press conference
the
next day by the National Lawyers Guild that
planning director, should they decide that they
police
want to
not only drove
meter,
people away from
such
the area
on private in,
at
property.
The protest site itself.
The concerns
and
that I have
near the
are the vagaries of the draft
away.
Of the ordinance.
They were not only attacking
I feel
groups
concerned
of people, but they were attacking
if you
legal observers.
Something
the people
that
from
is
the National
so
Lawyers
nobody
Guild,
has the answers
green
to the
hats
questions,
and said legal
such
observer
as,
on it.
What is the critical
the legal
area? What does that really mean?
Carol
are there
Sobel
other
shot
ways to mitigate that?
Bullet
have
right
you dealt with
the
fact that perhaps this may be, not to use upon a drop in the bucket, to your concern?
I guess they filed a
why
lawsuit
are you
against it.
Private wells?
Trying to get some
what will you gain from just metering
it?
New ones? And will you move
it's
on
hard to say,
other wells throughout that,
I don't know. You
that are not new
stay down
wells,
there 2 days.
Or will that
I'm not quite
that
sure.
When
I went to a couple more marches, so I'm not sure
whatever.
Whether
who's going
to
pay
the total
for that?
Impact
how much will it cost?
Like the next day there were
all of those questions
smaller
are not
protests,
answered.
But also,
in this
I walked in the gay and
when you have something that's
transgender
vague, what you're
protest,
doing is writing a blank
building.
Check.
And I also, I
noticed,
I think that,
very dangerous.
That the main concern of the monitors was to get people through it as quickly as possible
and, it's a very
and get them to disperse. But that's not the reason we came to Los Angeles.
It
was not to quickly raise a sign and say, I protest, and leave. That was not the reason at all.
Private wells,
and again, one of the problems, of course,
areas.
Is the people working on
so
the inside
definition of critical
they have a priority
how you determine
to
that
protect
is very,
the protesters
very
and try
dire
to
in this
avoid
case, because that
provocations
would
and problems
that
with the police. But if the police are creating
property,
them,
with
I guess there has to come a point where you have to decide what to do. I mean,
and do
we have
all
to evolve
the
some tactics, possibly.
I
suggest
so
that whenever we try to get through the police line to leave the protest, they wouldn't let us leave.
That it be very specific.
The gay march to the federal building. We
very
couldn't leave,
organized and know
and
exactly precisely
join, and people
where
were isolated from the protest, from the larger community. You remember walking down and seeing people locked up in buildings?
Yeah.
Security guards were keeping people from leaving buildings, even who may have wanted to join the protest. And police were, in clusters along the street at the various side streets, which stopped people from joining the protest, even people with press credentials, as though this were some sort of quarantine that had to be put into effect. Did you notice any of that?
Yeah, I also noticed that, at one point, I forgot which march was where we were getting to this one march, and we were walking down the sidewalk to get there, and as soon as we got near there, the police started threatening to arrest us if we didn't get off the sidewalk. And so everyone who was on the sidewalk, even like just people who were just watching or watching the protest, either had to go inside or join the protest. But there was no in-between situation without like the police actually threatening to arrest us for being on the sidewalk.
And indeed, I talked to homeless people who said that they had been cleared completely out of Pershing Square, which was sort of one of the main focal points where people kind of got together to hear speakers and to begin to, was a kind of a commencement point for protest marches. And they said, they drove us away from Pershing Square, the place that wouldn't let us be there, in a way that, they were very resentful. They didn't really blame the protesters. They didn't really blame the police. The two guys I talked to seemed sort of bewildered and resentful about the whole thing. But it looked like they were creating a situation where there was no possibility of meaningful communication between, or very little. The protesters would have had to evolve a special plan to communicate. And that might have involved, incurring the ire of the LAPD and then dealing with that. But if you want to avoid incurring the ire of the LAPD, it looks like you're
Madam Chairperson, members of the board, my name is Bob Lister.
Your message will be completely isolated.
I live on 2731 Old San Jose Road.
The whole spirit of the protest will be quashed before it starts.
We grow, we have our own well there.
Looking at it after.
We irrigate our pasture, and we have our own livestock. And we don't use pesticides.
Is there more that happened there
in the same water for 40 years
that you think people should know about?
We haven't been using any more water than we did when we moved there in 1960. So I don't see why we should be, I'm trying not to be redundant, because other people have spoken about this previously, but I don't see why we should have someone coming on our property and reading our meter and charging us more of a water when we haven't been excessive in the use of our water. What I'd like to say, as a longtime citizen of Santa Cruz County, I raised my family, and I'm opposed to this proposed ordinance. Thank you very much for your time.
Started running towards us, you know, screaming, they're arresting people, they're tear gassing people, all because we were in the crosswalk.
Good morning, members of the board. My name is Nick Brolick, and I want to also register my vote against this ordinance. It just doesn't make common sense. You're trying to regulate something that I feel is not regulatable because of our private property rights. It's against the law. Secondly, a private well might pump 8 gallons per minute for a household. They're not even going to use that much. But say
it was really the kind of the quintessence of police state, where police state means not just using cops everywhere, not just are you afraid of police, but in order to figure out the law and what is right and wrong, that's completely at the whim of the police officer on the beat. Or
you've already
his or
got
her
control
commander, they make those decisions.
It
has nothing to do with the legislature, nothing to do with the Constitution,
through
the
public agencies that exist.
Just a police decision.
If you're pumping out 800,000 gallons of water through a public agency.
There was also
10% of that. The same savings as you would have on a private well would be 80,000 gallons of water. Now that's a savings.
Why, you know, some of us ask, why did the
where the greatest usage is, and that's with
attack
their own public agencies.
Now,
Scotts Valley has set
clear
in motion a tertiary treatment plant that's going to be coming online probably next month.
And I don't really know why they did, but one of the main things I noticed was that was the time that the delegates
water that's going into the
Now, they didn't arrest people the next night or the night after, but then there weren't thousands and thousands of people there. So maybe they have
misguided
notion that they were protecting the delegates,
so
the crowd
was
by no means violent.
To save our water.
And where
it's
the
going a long way to try and regulate and control private property.
Quite removed
and I know
from
the reason,
place
the
where the protesters
reason
walk,
is, and
where
what
the
said,
delegates
is to get
walked out.
And get county officials on private property and
so,
take private property rights away. It's not going to happen.
There were some of us who said
be against this
they
100%.
Are trying
we
to stop
rally the troops if we have to again.
From a large
stop
seeing a large number of protesters there in a direct way. And indeed, after you were beaten, and Jessica and Becky were beaten,
Pam
and we retreated into the restaurant and came out again. I spent the rest of the evening just sort of holding up a rubber bullet trying to get the attention of the delegates who were walking by, and some of them stopped and talked about it. Most of them didn't. Most of them hurried home, and I frankly had no need to be terribly friendly to the delegates, though they didn't wield the batons, but I felt here's a group of insulated, privileged people who are, essentially helping to perpetuate this state of affairs. And I was demanding, in a clear, loud voice, that they recognize that people are getting beaten and shot out here, and that they do something about it. And the police then did another sweep right up where I was, to say, clear the sidewalk, and they drove everyone out indoors before they didn't shoot any rubber bullets that I remember. And then we came out again, and that dialogue continued. Anyway, Ryan, I appreciate your spending half an hour's worth of long-distance call funding, and I hope that you get in touch with the rest of the folks who were attacked that night by police, because I know that a lawyer kind of came out of the mist the next day and agreed, said he wanted to help with this, and because he thought he could make some money off it.
Yeah.
He was actually a kind of a protester himself. So maybe if a group of people get together who are all beaten, they can actually, at least get, you didn't see any of the badge numbers, I assume, the names of any of these cops, because I couldn't either. Right, well, I don't think, I was told by the National Lawyers Guild at the press conference that those were concealed.
But
for some reason, the gas masks were over them, or the shields were covered, so it wasn't possible to get them anyway, but it was really hard. I remember when I tried to talk to a police officer, to say, can I get through the line, he said, stand back, go over there, keep moving, and that was his way of you know, you have to be a pretty calm person to be able to say, okay, what's your badge number?
Water usage in private.
And I think that might be a tactic for the next press, the next protest. We all have 1,000 people standing in front of 1,000 individual police officers saying, what's your badge number, officer? And everybody gets the badge number, or you start seeing police officers not doing that, and then that shows a violation of process and becomes very clear to people watching. So that was my brainstorm I've been babbling about the last few days. Anything you want to add to any of this, Ryan, you think that might give us some more information?
That you have intentions of expanding this to...
All right, well, then let's... maybe some listeners will be calling in, and if they do and they want to get in touch with you, we'll try to pass on their numbers to you, and you can
I think if you pass this, you would be furthering...
Hey, thank you for giving us this whole account.
Loss of integrity. They just think that... you are the enemy that they have to protect themselves from.
Yeah, that was Ryan White.
I intend,
who was,
I don't know how this
by his own account, beaten at the Democratic National Convention protest against the convention.
Look for some help
Monday,
and
we have
a challenge to this.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Hi, Robert. This is Eleanor.
Hi, Eleanor.
Thank you. Litigation, so
I just wanted to add a little bit to what you've been talking about. There was some coverage here of what was going on there. The first thing that we heard before anything happened was that the word was from Al Gore that the police were supposed to back off and leave protesters alone because they wanted to hear from them. Then the next coverage we got was we saw the police beating people. I saw one police officer clubbing people so hard and swinging so broadly that two times in a row the cop that was behind him to his right, he hit him twice. And the third time the cop jumped out of the way. We saw this on camera. Yeah. I said to Robert, my God, look at this. Take a look. He's hitting his own brethren there. They were so crazy. They did attack...
I was joining on the ball with flipping off the New Leaf camera on Tuesday, the 22nd of August, around 10 to 1. We're talking to that well-known criminal vagabond and loiterer, Jerry Henry.
That's a public nuisance number one.
I ain't seen anything new since I came here, but what's happened? You got a date coming up with the Jean de Rameur chauffeur?
Yeah, I think the luncheon's scheduled for Friday.
What time?
I think they'll do it at 10 o'clock. I think it's scheduled for 8:30, but I don't think they'll do it till the calendar.
Department 2?
Department 2.
And you will be sentenced for how many charges?
Four.
And again, recite for us your crimes, if you don't mind.
Oh, two disturbing the peaces and two trespassing on a public property open to the public.
Hanging out in front of a business that didn't want you there, man. I mean, come on, show some respect. This town is owned by the businesses.
Oh, come on. We got our deadhead gurus, caffeine gurus of Santa Cruz County, you know, our deadhead gurus, roasting company.
You're actually referring to incidents that happened in Aptos at the Aptos Roasting Company, Gottschalk's, the police substation, and of course the infamous Rancho Liquors.
Pecker wanted to fuck me in the ass with the broomstick, yeah.
That was what he said. That's the Rancho Liquors fellow. There was a trial about a month and a half ago, and I guess the most important charge was thrown out, which is the conspiracy sort of charge, the public nuisance charge, right?
Yeah, it wasn't thrown out.
Yes.
It was hung jury, and the DA's office doesn't know if they're going to retry me on it.
Pretty well hung, I might add. Actually, it was 11 to 1 against you, right?
11 to 1 against me.
And it was, wasn't this a criminal who was often seen in court supporting you? Mr. Hickey, I believe your name is.
I guess I am a criminal now.
And what are you doing down here on the mall?
I was reading my book, looking at a roadmap, just ate some pizza, just had some lunch.
Any comments on recent police activities here in town?
No comment.
Nothing's been happening? All has been wrong?
Well, I'm sure there's stuff happening all the time, but nothing that I'm firsthand aware of.
Good. And you also have been, should we say, a confrere of Jerry here. You spoke on his behalf at the trial. You've often been seen in Aptos engaging in subversive coffee drinking and things of that sort.
Conversive coffee drinking, yeah.
Yes.
Looking forward to the sentencing hearing on Friday for Jerry Henry. Hoping to do some speaking there.
He's going to call you as a character witness?
I don't know if we're calling witnesses, but I'm hoping that I can do an open forum of some sorts where I can speak about Jerry. Yeah, I am going to speak on his behalf.
Now, you yourself got a ticket for, shall we say, a colorful and straightforward confrontation with a deputy, correct?
Yeah, I was convicted here in the Superior Court for intentionally interfering with the sheriff's station in Aptos by trying to report a crime.
Well, we know that their real job is to engage in crime, not to take reports of crime, such as conspiracy to deny basic civil rights to young people and those who advise them.
I don't think they like anybody even telling them of crimes either way. I think that they think their job is to do the crimes, and it's not the citizen's job to do anything. And he told me that if I didn't leave when I was trying to report the crime, that he was going to arrest me. And I told him that I thought he was a fucked up asshole, and I had somehow in that conversation, among his lies in court, been convicted of interfering with the sheriff's department.
Are you appealing this conviction?
It just got denied by the California State Supreme Court. The sixth district upheld the juvenile court's findings and did an unpublished opinion on it, making it. And I'm thinking that I may want to do a mandate at the Supreme Court for them to republish that into public record, so it's not a concealed document.
So what is the significance of this document? What does it say for the next person?
Well, it doesn't say anything. That's the thing. They made it unpublished. So the ruling that
If it were published, what would it say?
Well, all it would be is it would just be president on the 602.1 charge. And right now it's acting only to affect me and no one else. So that judge hearing is I am at a point in law that nobody else gets affected by.
So if everybody were affected, what would be the effect?
It would just limit 602.1 and give grounds for what 602.1 can be used for and what is criminal and what's not.
602.1 is a bizarre part of the trespass statute put in by businesses. Something about trespassing with intent to interfere with a business, something like that?
Yeah, enacted in 95.
Okay. And so how would this provision be limited if it were published?
It wouldn't be limiting in that fact because I think it was pretty much a wrong ruling by the 6th District Court of Appeals. But what it would do is it would make it open to the public, and then the Supreme Court may not have the standing they had that they just dismissed my case. It may make them say, all right, everybody's being affected by this. It's not just this one person, so now we need to look at it.
So if it's a bad ruling, it affects everybody. It's better than, at least in terms of the courts looking at it, it's better than a bad ruling that just affects you. On the other hand, the risk is that they would uphold it, and then it would be a bad ruling that would always affect everybody.
Well, if they uphold it you know, the case is can be filed in federal court right now. I got the opening for federal court, and my case isn't just going to stop here. And I feel as innocent gets.
What crime were you trying to report?
I was reporting a semi parked in the fire lane. 1 week prior, they threatened to ticket my friend Jerry Henry for distributing food to a homeless paraplegic man in the fire lane, where every single of all the liveries in the fire in that shopping center in Rancho Del Mar were made from in that fire lane. And so the next week there was a 40-foot semi parked right where Jerry was, and so I went to the cop that tried to tell Jerry to leave on threat of a ticket, and he said he waited for me to leave when I first told him, and when I came back in 5 minutes later when the truck was still there, I went back in. I told him there's a fire lane still parked out there. He said, I heard you the first time. If you don't leave, I'm going to arrest you.
What was the name of this so-called police officer?
This was Sergeant Hemingway of the Sheriff's Department.
I think I've heard that name somewhere before.
I know Henning.
Hemingway. You know, like the author, only not quite the same person. Indeed. Anything else you wish to say on this or any other matter?
That's it.
Jerry Henry, anything you wish to say, sir? You who face conceivably, what, 2 or 3 years in jail as a theoretical possibility on what's the date? August
20th? It's this coming Friday. It's August 25th. Okay. And, if people have any concerns about whether they can be in public and not be called a nuisance, they may want to come down and see what's happening.
So that'll be at 8:30 or more likely at 10 o'clock in Department 2.
In Department 2.
701 Ocean Street. Come on down or call 423-HUFF for more information.
Talking to? It's Sun Song.
And how long have you been in town, Sun Song?
a couple hours.
Well, so you're just new on the scene.
Yeah, I left here a while ago, though, for like a month or so.
And how did you do then?
Very sneakily.
Really? Were you in a vehicle or outside?
I was outside.
And did you get ticketed?
No, I was sneaky.
You were sneaky. Were you clean in your campsites?
Was I clean?
Yes.
Yeah.
Did you poo-poo and pee-pee in the street?
No.
Did you leave debris where you slept?
No.
Did you harass poor police officers and break windows?
No.
Then what seems to be the problem?
Well, basically they want everybody to be a slave, and they want us all to work and get nice little box houses and pay nice little taxes so they can sit there and buy big bombs and take over small countries. And so it all
fits. You one of them
together.
Radical types, man?
Yeah.
We don't want your kind around here, lady.
Yeah, I'm very liberal, damn it.
Very liberal, I see. Anything you wish to tell our Free Radio Santa Cruz audience?
I want to say, fight power! Let us sleep! We're just sleeping. We're not criminals. We're just homeless. We're not homeless. We're just houseless, so it's not that bad. Let us be. We're not hurting anybody. That's all. I love you all. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No.
Huh.
No.
Well, maybe I can come down there today and try out my horrible Spanish and...
Yeah, you know, we're going to have a live mic, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so if you want to come down and say a couple words about what's going on and let the community know, too, you know, because I feel that some of them are not even in the knowledge of what's going to happen to their homes.
This is between 1:30 and 4 o'clock today. And this is down at the community center or in the park? Which?
In the park, in the Beach Flats Park.
In the Beach Flats Park.
Yeah.
I think I will come down, and I will invite everybody who's listening who's interested in the Dolphin Lee situation, the Lee tenants essentially being told we're not going to help you worth a damn after refusing to negotiate with them, and the Dolphin tenants being told take Mercy Charities and like it or get the hell out. That's the latest word from the city council.
Yeah.
In the meantime, of course, they're smearing Nena Ruiz as a heroin addict or a former heroin user. She's the spokesperson for Residentes Unidos. But in fact, you know, this information that came out in the Sentinel like a week or two ago that she was convicted of, what, heroin use or possession way back in last year, is something she has never denied, never concealed, and that everybody knows about, except the Sentinel decided, I guess, it was time to support Michael Hernandez for
wow.
City Council, you know. Anyway, I don't mean to...
No, I'm pretty sure that there's drug users in the Sentinel, too, you know?
Probably there's a lot of drug use going on. And I mean, I'm not aware that Nena Ruiz is currently a heroin user, though I think it would be her own damn business if she were.
Exactly.
But as far as I know, that's something that happened in the past. And this whole business about, you know, did Bush use cocaine and did Clinton inhale? It's, you know, I mean, I get really tired of hearing all this shit. What I want to hear about is what's going to happen to hundreds of tenants in the Dolphin because the city council hasn't got the guts to negotiate with Spanish-speaking tenants. That's what I want to hear about.
Yeah, they should probably hire more translators, you know?
Hire more translators and I guess fire some of those clowns who've developed these crazy plans to evict people.
Yeah. Right on, Robert.
All right, listen, thank you. And I'll be coming down there sometime this afternoon. I invite people to come on down to the community park in the Beach Flats. Not hard to find. You know the address, the exact address? Or
Leybrand and Raymond.
Leybrand and Raymond Streets.
Yeah.
Sounds good to me.
All right, Robert.
Hey.
See you there, man.
Good to hear you.
All right, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
And... wow, that brings me to a kind of another point in the show, which we've done a lot of coverage of in the last few months, having to do with the possibility of tenants actually taking power in this community, of tenants, poor Latino tenants, telling the city council's overpowering redevelopment agency staff and Ciel Cirillo, Empress Ciel Cirillo's empire, she's the head of the redevelopment agency, that it's... they aren't going to make a move unless they pay some attention to the needs and desires of the tenants who live there. And they certainly aren't going to evict all these people so they can put up a little showcase housing project so that Mercy Charities Housing can justify its little Santa Cruz office with a new project. That is something that the message began to get out, but unfortunately the city council, well, perhaps we should have expected it of them, voted 5-2, and that's unfortunately Mayor Sugar did the resolution along with Catherine Byers to kick the Lee tenants completely out of the process, and because they were saying with the cooperation of their owner, we will negotiate with you. We do want a project. We are willing and interested in working with the community on good low-income housing for folks here in this area, but we want to make sure that you don't kick any of us out, that you unless there's some other good reason for it, unless there's some just cause. And an old heroin conviction, even Mercy Charities Housing admitted, for those of you who are reading the Sentinel, is not a good reason. It's a red herring. It's the kind of smear job the Sentinel likes to do when forces who are really from the grassroots in the community stand up and speak.
Hi, you're on Free Radio.
Yeah, I wonder what drugs Mike Rodkin is on these days.
Oh boy, who knows, man?
He's the occasional pot smoker, as the Sentinel put him.
Well, he seems to be smoking power. That man is hooked on power.
Well, it's kind of funny how they relate the two different, the heroin, of course, is evil, bad, but, the same illegal substance that Mike Rodkin made the cover of the paper for. You remember? I don't know if you remember that article about a year ago or so when he was mayor, and they did this front page article of him standing above the clock tower and had this picture of him talking about him wearing his Nikes and driving his motorcycle and occasional pot smoking.
Could have been back in 1996 when he was mayor, yeah.
Is that when it was?
Yep. I mean, I don't remember the article, but that's when he was mayor.
But it was, like, socially accepted, of course, because, marijuana's cool in Santa Cruz, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I just called to say I'm glad you guys are back. I hope Becky's feeling okay. I was very concerned about you guys in L.A. Sorry to change the subject.
No, that's fine.
And I had a song request if you could dig out that LAPD theme by
Mark Levy. Yeah, we wish we brought that one south. I'm going to see if I have it in my little blue bag of tapes. In the meantime, you're just going to have to make do with Dave Lipman's Walmart song.
Love to borrow that song from you. And
hey, I'd be happy to do that.
I'm making a collage of the whole L.A. thing.
But you can't have my LAPD T-shirt. I'm keeping that.
Oh, yeah, just take that fuck the police button off,
Make sure that you turn it upside down.
At least you didn't have that shirt on.
No, I didn't have that shirt. That would, I think, have been somewhat provocative.
A little bit.
But I did have a fuck the police button on all day. It was very interesting. The reason it wasn't that I wanted to, aggravate the police. I ran into this homeless guy who was selling fuck the police buttons for $5, and I said, that is too much.
Wow.
I'm not going to buy any such button from you. And I said, but I'd like to interview you. Well, after I interviewed him, he said, I want you to have this button. So I felt obliged to wear it. And I wore it all day until 5 minutes before the police attacked, and then I thought, well, I think I've worn this long enough.
Well, the whole funny thing is, I was here the whole time. I didn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I was getting news off the internet and trying to keep Free Radio apprised of the situation, along with DJ Susie and DJ Fish.
Mm-hmm. Has there been a lot of coverage of the LA situation?
As far as the mainstream media,
as far as Free Radio.
Oh yeah, we're covering every by the hour. We're on the IMC webpage, which is indiemedia.org.
Right. Great group.
INDY, yeah.
They let us use their computers and their stuff. It was great.
Yeah, they're an awesome group, and they kept up to date, updating every half an hour what was going on. We were, reading, riot cops are now coming down this street, Figueroa, and they're closing in on these protesters, and it talked about, to the minute, everything that was going down.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the mainstream media covered nothing whatsoever. I guess a woman that called saw something on there, although I watched the Night of the Rage concert on 46, 11, and 8, and saw nothing. They had Clinton out there talking his spiel, and then they said, and there were protesters, and they had one guy running away from cops, and then they cut back to the Clinton again, and they said, but all the action was on inside the convention. And then one scene, they were talking about Clinton, and they had riot cops firing on people as they were talking about what Clinton's speech was about. I thought that was kind of ironic in a way.
You mean you could see them in the background? Or?
Yeah, well, they had the video footage. They must have fucked up or something. They had video footage of the police shooting people with rubber bullets and tear gas flying everywhere. At the same time, they were talking about Clinton's speech. So they didn't say anything about the protests or anything about the police shooting people or anything. It was mainly about the convention itself. Nothing about the protests outside at all. But they did show the footage of the police shooting people. It was pretty weird.
Bob, you've been a kind of a cop watcher here in Santa Cruz for a decade almost, and you've had your own publication, the Surf City Banner, and you've been involved in you know, following police with video cameras and working with Food Not Bombs when Santa Cruz police were, you know, to some extent menacing Food Not Bombs and pressuring them. What do you make of looking at this whole protest based on the situation? Do you, you've seen the successes of Seattle, and what's your evaluation of the L.A. protests? Any thoughts on that?
Basically, they wanted to quell it before it happened. The one thing that comes to mind is that first TV broadcast that was supposed to be broadcast on satellite, that Old Lady Scarham's van was accused of having a bomb in it.
You're talking about three Santa Cruz journalists, including Vinny.
Vicious Vinny,
and his triad of bomb-de-bombers who actually were I guess they were trying. You were trying to do some visual stuff, and they. Well, you covered that pretty closely yourselves, right?
Yeah, we did. Actually, we got a call from Old Lady Scarham's while they were being detained. As a matter of fact, one of the lawyers.
This is a bogus detention of a van in the parking lot of the independent media area, which successfully sabotaged the first live feed out of there by satellite.
Yeah. Laura Flanders did a show called Crashing the Party, which was interrupted because their transmission van was about three spaces away from where Old Lady Scarham's van was. And originally, see, it's a county building. That was a problem for the Indy Media Center. They should have never rented a county building because the county police could just come in as they please, and they were there a lot of the times in riot gear just standing there.
I kept seeing these county cops walking through that building. I was kind of surprised. I mean, Convergence Center, another building where protesters had gathered and rented in another side of the town, was very, very security conscious, and they wouldn't let police in at all. And they, you know, there was never a police officer, at least in uniform, inside that building. Although I'm sure there were plenty of undercover cops.
Well, the county cops are the one that first, you know, caught wind of this situation, and they searched the van without any protective gear, anything. Searched the
claiming
van.
Claiming there was a bomb
nothing.
There.
Huh?
Claiming that there was supposedly a bomb there.
Yeah, supposedly a yellow van, Volkswagen van. The only fucking VW van, every other SUV was in a parking lot. It's on the webpage, too, at Indy Media. You can see the hypocrisy of it. Shows a picture of the van and all these, like, wonderful SUVs around it. And they picked that one, obviously. And they came in, they searched it. They were just about to give the keys back when LAPD's jurisdiction, they came into play. They said, oh, we got to call the bomb squad. So 3-4 hours later, the bomb squad finally gets there and does
and during that time, they blocked transmission and and actually, I think they evacuated one floor. That finally evacuated
the Shadow Convention, I think they evacuated.
Right, which is the building that was not only it housed the independent media on the sixth floor, but it housed the very articulate Shadow Convention, though they probably got more media than the protesters, but certainly much, much less media than they deserve.
Not here. They didn't get anything in the mainstream media whatsoever, even in the Sentinel and all the local papers. The L.A. Times actually covered, I would say it had the best somewhat coverage.
Although, it's interesting, most of the L.A. Times stories were told by people who were, like, inside the police lines all the time. It was about the technology of the police and how their scouts were running around inside the peace movement.
Oh, yeah, I read that one. That was interesting.
Yeah,
probably one of the scouts that wrote it. But
what's happened in Santa Cruz in the last week or two while I've been away? Have there been any instances or with the police locally that you think people should know about? Or
It's been pretty calm this week. Like, I've been focusing mainly on what's been going on there and some of my comrades that have been there and getting unconventional coverage on. I mean, we've covered it better than pretty much anybody. You know, we were on with unconventional coverage before KZSC was. We're having up-to-date stuff going on, and of course we're not acknowledged as being a media, as in the media. But the next big event I just want to put a PSA out is the National Association of Broadcasters. The people that want us off the air and have been working very hard to try to keep us off the air, but they're not doing very well. They're going to be meeting in San Francisco the 20th through the 23rd, and I forget what the website is to find out more, but just stay tuned to Free Radio to find out more information. They're going to be having a convention. Colin Powell's going to be there, Casey Kasem, and, you know, I mean, maybe we can get them to have Robert Norris there.
Hey, man.
Who knows, but we need to go there and we need to protest. That's the next
September
thing.
September 20th through the 23rd, the National Association of Broadcasters in San Francisco, and that is www.mediademocracynow.org.
The only thing that I think the problem that happened with with Ole Scarm's van and them being targeted, mm-hmm. is because I think they're listening to their show when they play that song called Radio Is My Bomb. They didn't understand. It's a radio that's the bomb, that we are putting the bomb out on the airwaves, not a bomb in the van.
Well, it's kind of like your music, Bob, your vicious, felonious music on the streets.
Felonious.
Kill the cop within. You aren't really
inside.
Talking about killing the cops without, right?
Kill the cop inside.
Inside, within, yes, right.
Although Officer Over thought it was kill the cop inside the store. But
I see.
It doesn't rhyme. It doesn't just go.
Officer Over, he's always a little slow on these
issues.
He's
trying to rewrite my song, you know.
I think he just wants to rip you off.
Also, Officer Carey tried to rewrite my song, too.
Now, remember, what was that, Making Terrorist Threats?
Yeah, Making Terrorist Threats against mm-hmm. poor Stuart Martin of the ID building while I was singing a song outside saying I wanted to burn down, kill all cops, burn down the ID, blow up the bookshop Santa Cruz, and kill Neil Coonerty. It does rhyme, but I don't know. Maybe me and him should have got together.
So those were not actually in the song?
No, wasn't.
Well, you might consider an updated song of 2000.
I like
2000.
Pigs. Pigs are my friend.
Yes.
I mean, pigs, not like pig.
You mean the swine that we eat for bacon, that's what you're talking about. Some
little,
of us eat for bacon, yes.
Yep. Well, anyway, I'm going to go let other people call in.
Hey, Skidmark, I appreciate your calling in. I did learn when I was in L.A. that the police actually have closed down radio stations down there, and I hadn't known about that. The FCC, in fact, I met one of the women who was part of a station that had been closed down several years ago.
A pirate station?
It was a pirate station, which
wow.
I thought in California they had intimidated people into closing down stations, but never actually walked in and done that. And so I was kind of alarmed to hear that. I'm going to have to check with our expert, Vicious Vinny, the man who knows everything about free radio everywhere, and
yep.
see if we can update his analysis.
Okay, well, they ain't going to shut us down.
No way, man.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target. McDonald's.
The Gap.
Pepsi. IBM.
Starbucks. Not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really even like.
That's a great song. We're going to have to wait because we have a caller, and callers take precedence over music. Hi, caller.
How are you, Robert?
I'm good.
This is your favorite street person here in Santa Cruz. This is your favorite person named Bud.
Hey, Bud. What's happening with the street spirit? Anything happening out there? You're the man who sells them in front of street light in case anybody wants to know.
Well, not today.
Uh-oh.
In front of Cinema 9.
Uh-oh, you down in front of Cinema 9. But what's happening on the streets? Anything you want to report on?
Well, actually, it's something I want to ask you so I can give you an idea about that L.A. crap.
Alrighty.
Maybe you can tell me what actually happened, if you will. I was actually listening.
Oh, well, we kind of have been talking about that for the last hour there, Bud.
But anyway, you ever heard of N.W.A.? It's a music group called Niggas with Attitude.
I believe so, yeah.
But anyway, the way I look at it, changed all that. For fuck the police, call it Papwa, P-A-P-W-A. Punk ass police with attitudes.
Oh, I see. So you've got a new group in mind there.
Yeah.
Well, you also, we spoke earlier, Bud, when you were picking up some papers, and you mentioned this last week, you've had a couple of run-ins with police and hosts and such.
Yeah, this past week, late Wednesday night, I was over at Denny's on Ocean Street, went in there, had a cup of coffee. And the medicine I had to take made me really drowsy. I woke up, and I'm getting handcuffed, and the police telling me I'm being arrested for public intoxication. And by the time he gets me out the door, he tells me he don't smell alcohol in my breath. I'm thinking in my mind, then what the hell is this clown handcuffing me for then, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make sense, so he drops me off downtown.
He essentially kidnapped you, took you out of the restaurant you were in, and dumped you downtown.
Yeah.
Did you file a complaint with the FBI?
No, I wanted to do through internal affairs.
I see. Well, they're probably having lots of internal affairs in the police department, but I don't think that many of them have anything to do with disciplining unruly or illegal police officers. But yeah, you can always file a complaint. And in fact, I recommend people do, even though you shouldn't spend your life waiting for the complaint to actually go anywhere, because I think it's good to make a record. You also had a harassment episode that happened in front of what? Was it the old Cat and Canary or?
Actually, I was sitting out in front of this one vacant building on Pacific Avenue, 1531 is the actual address.
Yeah, where is that anyway?
On Pacific Avenue.
Yeah, but where? Near what?
Near Echo's Clothing.
Okay, I'm not quite sure.
It's a ladies' clothing store.
Go ahead.
And that's two doors down from where I was sitting at, and the owner comes outside, tells me that I can't panhandle for money.
Right.
Which now, I was in complete ordinance that I had rights to do just that.
Right.
She tells me, well, people are in their car on their car phones. They're too afraid to get out their cars to come inside her store to buy $150 dresses.
Now, were you sitting or standing?
Sitting.
Sitting. Were you holding a sign, or were you asking people verbally?
Asking people verbally.
It's illegal in Santa Cruz to sit down anywhere and verbally ask for spare change, although it is legal to have a sign, and it is legal to, strangely enough, stand up and ask for spare change. It's also illegal to ask for spare change after dark. Was this after dark?
Now, when I saw this cop yesterday...
Was this after dark?
No.
Kay.
This cop came up to me over by the Metro Center because right. I just bought me a pack of cigarettes, and he just noticed me, told me about the situation, and he says, I have to be 3 feet away. I said, well, wait a minute, how am I supposed to be 3 feet away if I'm sitting down, and according to the city ordinance pamphlet, it does not have in that one section that I have to be 3 feet away?
Well, it's not that you have to be 3 feet away standing up. You can't be sitting down. It's illegal to spare change sitting down by the crazy rules of the Santa Cruz City Council, mainly put together by...
It's actually in the middle part of the pamphlet.
Mainly put together by Scott Kennedy, who, by the way, is running for city council again. So if you want more crazy rules, vote for Scott Kennedy. So some suggestions for all you out there.
The bright idea about the Chinese way... about how to protect yourself, about L.A. police, about extra padding. Do it the traditional, old-fashioned way.
Mm-hmm.
You get hit, you hit it back.
Wow. Well, it's hard to do when you're dealing with people who are, shall we say, more heavily armed than yourself.
Not necessarily. If they got weapons, they're leaving a whole much of their body territory wide open.
Well, we could send some folks to you for training in how to deal with the police, but I'm going to leave that for another show. Anything else you want to add, Bud?
I'm out here in front of 79 trying to sell these papers.
You certainly are, and I think people know that well enough by now, and if they want a street spirit, a fine newspaper, I might add, check you out. Talk to you later, Bud.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
And this is Free Radio Santa Cruz, 96.3 FM. We are going to attempt to have a little bit of Dave Lippman's I Hate Walmart. But if a caller calls, you know, we just may have to interrupt that song again. Let's see if we're starting at the beginning. Here we go.
I've always hated Blockbuster.
Target, McDonald's,
The Gap,
Pepsi,
Nike,
IBM,
Starbucks, not quite so much. If I'm not boycotting at least three oil companies, I start to feel out of touch. I wouldn't be seen in Nordstrom's or any such. And I hate Walmart. I don't like whips. I don't like chains. I don't go chopping up my neighbor's brains. Don't really even like shopping except at the flea market. And I hate Walmart. Fuss. If you don't like the train, take the bus. Well, I found religion, and just between us, I hate Walmart. If you didn't hear the story, well, here's how it is. Big company sell below cost, drive mom and pop out of business. Pretty soon all over the land, one big square store, identical brand, and that's why I hate. In three or four towns, encounter different sights and sounds, different if not unique.
Is to designate this time from 11 to 3:30 a.m., 11 p.m., 3:30 a.m., to be up and around.
11 p.m. to 8:30, actually, is the forbidden time, right, to sleep. So it's considerably, and if you're on the university, it's from...